This morning we're talking about putting Jesus first, and so if you've brought a Bible or something like a Bible, why don't you stand to your feet in honor of God's word, and we'll read this passage together. This is Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. We might even have it up there on the screen. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Some Bibles say, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles seek after these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added onto you. Let's pray together this morning. For one or maybe two people, this will be a transformational message. You have come today by design, and the Lord has you here to hear these words. It's more than just a lecture. It's more than just someone giving a presentation. The Lord wants to speak into your life today, and for you, life will never be the same. And for so many of us, the Lord Jesus is wanting to take first place. He's wanting to take first place. And we love him and we care about him and we believe that he's important, but he's not first. And today you're going to have an opportunity to turn your back on normal Christianity. And you're going to say, I'm done with low living and low thoughts and unbelief. And I'm committing my life to Jesus, not only as Savior, but now as Lord afresh. Come rule my life. I surrender all. And so, Lord, through your word this morning, would you do these things in our midst? Would you do the things which only you can do? And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the key verse here is the last verse we read, 6:33, that says, seek first his kingdom and all these other things will be added onto you. It talks about putting Jesus first. But before Jesus gets to verse 33, this is, of course, his Sermon on the Mount. And so in my Bible, it's all written in red. This is Jesus's words. And the Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5, 6, and 7. So right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus's words to put him first. But before he gets to 6:33, he starts way back at 6:19. And so there are five things I want to share with you this morning. Normally, you would get three things, but today being Baptism Sunday, you're getting five things. Special deal today. So there's five things Jesus wants us to know about putting him first. Five things. Number one, putting Jesus first reveals what we treasure. This is Matthew 6, 19 through 21. It says this, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Whatever we rely on in this life ultimately becomes the treasure of our heart. Whatever we put our faith in, whatever we put our trust in, that ultimately becomes our treasure. Now, Jesus is going to talk to them about wealth. We'll see that plainly in a second. But really, this could be anything. It could be anything we put our trust in. And that thing becomes our treasure. Now, when I was a young man, it was easy to turn all these things over to the Lord because I didn't have anything. And so if someone were to say to me, "I'm going to sue you for everything you have," I would say, "Go for it. You'll waste more in gas coming over to my house to get what I have." But as I've grown, I've added a family and I've added a house and other possessions and other belongings. Now this becomes more difficult. That treasure, so to speak, has grown. And there are times, time after time, when I have to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, this is not mine. This is yours." And when we give it to the Lord, we are surrendering ourselves to the Lord. We are surrendering and saying, "This is not mine, but this is yours." Now again, when I was a young man, I went through those things which I felt were treasures, were maybe even idols in my life. And I began to give them to the Lord, believing that he could take them the next day. I mean, it was that real to me. That I felt like if I laid this down to the Lord, give this Lord, you know, it's like when you abandon yourself to the Lord, the first thing you think he's going to do is send you to Africa, right? So I thought if I laid any of these things down before the Lord, he was going to take them away. He was going to take them away just to prove to me that he was in control. And so this was a battle that I fought back and forth. But finally, I came to that day where I started laying these things down before the Lord. First one was my wife. That I just had to give her over to the Lord. "Lord, if you decide to take her tomorrow, that's up to you. You are Lord. And I'm giving her to you." Second thing was our kids. Now that was a little bit easier to give to the Lord, but "Lord, these kids are yours." I think we only had two kids at the time, maybe three, but "Lord, these kids are yours." And as I'm giving it to the Lord, I'm thinking, yes, these kids could be gone tomorrow because now I'm giving them to the Lord. They're his. But that wasn't the hardest thing. The hardest thing was this. The Lord put his finger on my ministry, and that was hard. "Lord, I have a dream. I have a vision. I have things that I want to do for you." And the Lord was saying, "Greg, it's all mine. It's all mine. You have to let that go. You have to give that to me as well." And in this moment, as I'm doing this, I'm literally thinking that it's all over. That God's going to take me. He's going to put me on a shelf. And 40 years later, he'll come back and maybe use me to do something. And so I gave that to the Lord too. And each of those things that I gave to the Lord, he has made so much more of. He has done so many more great things through all of those. But as time goes on, there's a need to do it again and again and again. Because there's one thing about a living sacrifice, you know what Paul says in Romans 12, 1? There's one thing about a living sacrifice. It keeps crawling off the altar. And so we have to bring it back and put it on the altar again. And say, "Lord, this is for you." So the first thing we have to learn is that putting Jesus first reveals what really is a treasure in our heart. Jesus isn't talking about some surface behavior. He is talking about a deep allegiance to him, that we order our lives in this way. Because what we treasure most will eventually tell us who owns our heart. I told you this story a while ago in another message that I preached, but I'm going to share it again for emphasis and because it fits really good here. So Sandy's dad lived to be 100 years old. 100 years old. He was one of the last veterans of World War II to still be alive, and passed away a year or so ago, maybe a couple years ago. I kind of forget now. Sandy's mom, Violet, Sandy's dad was Max, and her mom, Violet, they were just the greatest people in the world. They were the kind of people that when they pass away, you know the world's going to be a worse place. So when Sandy and I first came to Christ years and years ago, Sandy's mom would come over to our house and bring her Bible and answer all our questions that we had about the Bible. And her dad taught a Bible study in their home on the book of Daniel, of all things. And he taught that Bible study. We would go to that Bible study. We were so hungry, so thirsty for the things of God. And then when the Lord called me into ministry, I went to a Bible college in downtown Minneapolis, and Sandy's mom and dad would drive into town every day for work, and so they would pick me up at a certain spot and take me in and bring me back, and they would support Sandy and I. I think I worked 4 hours a day at that time, went to school full-time. Sandy worked full-time, and then they would support us. They would give us money, like every month they'd write us a check and give us money, and they just took such good care of us and did until their passing. But when they passed, even though they had 7 kids, Sandy got a little inheritance from her parents. And we thought this would be a great idea to invest this money instead of just spending it somewhere and paying bills or whatever, that we would invest this money. And so we decided to put it into this, what I call semi-risky investment. The semi-risky investment, not a real risky investment, but kind of like an investment that probably everybody wouldn't do, but you know what they say, greater the risk, the greater the reward sort of thing. And so Sandy and I guess mostly I, thought that this would be a good thing to invest this inheritance in. And so we did that. And for the first year, it went marvelous. We thought this is going great. It wasn't growing, but it looked really good. The future looked really good. And then it tanked. I mean, it started going down, 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 down. And I thought we were going to lose the whole thing. Everything we invested, we were going to lose the whole thing. And I felt like such a jerk. Taking my wife's inheritance from her parents, spending it on this risky investment, and then just watching it tank, tank, tank. Guys, I don't know if I can explain how bad I felt about this. I mean, I felt awful. I felt like I betrayed my wife. I felt like I betrayed her parents. I felt like I was stupid, didn't know what I was doing. I shouldn't have never done this in the first place. And I'm having this little bit of meltdown, carrying this with me day after day as this thing is plummeting. And we have a friend, a family friend, who comes over to the house and has dinner with us. And then after dinner, I'm sharing with her where we're at with this. And I'm kind of lamenting all of this. And she says, well, Greg, have you prayed about it? And I was just a little indignant. I was just a little indignant because I'm thinking, I'm a pastor. I should be asking you if you've prayed about it. You're asking me if I prayed about it? Well, of course I had it. And so she begins to lead us in prayer. And as she's praying, I just begin to release this to the Lord. And my mind is just enlightened that this is all the Lord's anyway. This is all His. This is His blessing upon our family, and that He can take care of it, whether good or bad, that it's all in His hands. And in that moment, as she's praying, just all of this is released to the Lord, and that burden is lifted on me, never to come back again. But it simply started with the prayer, obviously, but with laying it down before the Lord. That I didn't want my treasure to be that inheritance. I didn't want my treasure to be that. I wanted my treasure to be the Lord. That's what I wanted as a treasure. Now, some of you are wondering, so let me tell you before I go on to the next point. Yes, that investment has turned around and we're doing okay, because some of you were really worried about that. Now you know. So that's the first thing Jesus wants us to know. Putting Jesus first reveals what we treasure. Putting Jesus first shapes how we see life. Jesus goes on to say, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So what Jesus is saying here is that the things that are in your heart, the things you treasure, you are going to see the world through those things. If the things you treasure are of light, you'll see the world in light. If they're darkness, you'll see the world in darkness. What rules our heart shapes how we see life. What rules in our heart shapes how we see life? How many people are on Facebook? Okay, everybody. So got off Facebook a couple years ago. 2020, it was 2020. Remember 2020? COVID, Black Lives Matter, political election, presidential election. 2020 was a terrible year. Not only in America for many, many reasons, but also in the news. Everything was depressing. Sandy goes, why are you still watching the news? Every time you watch it, you just get angry. And so I just stopped watching the news. I feel a lot better, not knowing. And I got off Facebook because Facebook keeps showing me what they think I want to see. And so I got a feeling, I don't know all the workings of how these things work, but I know this. I get on Facebook, I can scroll for hours. I don't know what strange witchcraft this is, but I can just scroll for hours. I was doing this the other night, not on my Facebook because I don't go on anymore, but on Sandy's. So I see her phone laying there and see her Facebook, and so I'm on there scrolling, and pretty soon I stop and I realize Sandy's no longer in the room. I go and she's in the bedroom laying on the bed watching TV. I go, what? Why'd you leave me? She said, I just got tired of just watching you scroll on Facebook. I'm like, what captures our heart is how we see life. And that is what gets returned to us. Not in a Facebook sort of way, but in a spiritual sort of way. Is that we're seeing things that perhaps nobody else has seen because our heart has that bent. And this is Jesus' warning. Be careful where your treasure is. Because if that treasure is not healthy, you're going to see the world through that treasure. And then he goes on to say something else. Here in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So number two is putting Jesus first shapes how we see life. Number three is putting Jesus first means choosing one master. No one can serve two masters. It's a fact. You can serve one master, but you can't serve two masters. Now, the other night, a couple weeks ago, we had a new members meeting here at the church. This is where we tell people who are interested in membership here at the church, we tell them what we're all about, we explain our doctrine, our philosophy, our what we do, and that sort of thing, and then they get to decide whether they want us as a church. And most of the time, they think, you know, they got to submit an application and stuff, and then we decide if we want them, but it's really not that way. If they want us, then we want them. And we had a great group of about 30 or 40 people there that night. One lady asked a question. She said, I'm a member at this other church. Can I transfer my membership to City Church? I go, well, no, we don't do that. You know, she goes, well, could I keep my membership there and get my membership here? I go, yeah, that'd be fine. And then some people at the front, they decided that was kind of funny and they started talking about dual citizenship. And I don't know if everybody else heard it, but I heard it. They're talking about, oh yeah, she's going to be dual citizen of both, you know, sort of thing. And, you know, I've been a pastor for a while and hesitating whether I should say this, but it's really hard to be committed to two churches. It's really hard because what's going to happen is you're probably going to end up loving one and hating the other. That's what's going to happen. But imagine now having dual citizenship in two countries. Like if you had a citizenship in Greenland and a citizenship in America, like when they finally decide to come and bomb us, you're going to have to choose sides. You have to choose sides, which side you're on, you know? So in serving Jesus, There can't be two masters. You can't serve both God and mammon, the old Bibles used to say. My Bible says, serve God and wealth. You can't serve both. One has to be the master. One has to be the Lord of it all. Jesus isn't asking for a part in what you do. He's asking to be Lord of all that you are. He wants it all. He wants your life. He wants your dreams. He wants all of that. He wants your future. He wants all of that. And here's the scary thing. We have no idea what he's going to do with it. We think when we give it to him, he's going to wreck our life. But the promise is that if we give it to him, he returns an abundant life to us. But it's just a little bit scary because we think we can do a better job than God can. So here's the third thing that he wants us to know. Putting Jesus first means choosing one master. What we treasure in our hearts will quietly compete with Jesus for first place. There's some decisions that need to be made here this morning because many of us have that treasure that we've been keeping away from Jesus. We haven't submitted to him. It might be a relationship. It might be finances. It might be something else. That Jesus can have all this over here, but he can't have this. If Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. That is his demand. Putting Jesus first means having one master. Here's the fourth thing. Putting Jesus first reveals what is not yet his. Now you go on to verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink or for your body of what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He goes on to say, consider the birds of the air. That I feed them every day and that, you know, they live a short life and they die. Don't you think I would care more for you? And consider the lilies of the valley, how beautiful they are, how I clothe them in beauty. And then a couple days later, they're thrown into the fire. Don't you think I would care more for you? And he goes on to say, you of little faith, showing that it's not a scheduling problem, it's not a financial problem, it's not a relational problem, it's not a health problem, it's not a marriage problem, it's not a child problem, it's a faith problem. It's a faith problem. Have we put our trust in Jesus or not? Will we trust him with everything? Because that's what he asks. That's what he's asking from us today. Will we trust him with everything? Here's the last one, number five. Putting Jesus first reveals what is not yet his. I went over this kind of fast, so I'm just going over it again. For the Gentiles eagerly seek after these things. They are those that don't have a heavenly Father. And so they seek after these things. But Jesus says, now going on to number five, putting Jesus first means reordering our world. Reordering our world. The word seek in 633 mirrors the idea of service in 624. No one can serve two masters. Instead of serving one or serving this one or seeking that one or seeking this one, search me, or to seek means to search or to chase after. Now, I'm going to tell you what this means in just a second, but I want to tell you first what it doesn't mean. So a long time ago, Sandy, my wife Sandy, misplaced her wedding rings. No big deal, right? And she goes, I asked her, well, where's your rings? And I misplaced them. I don't know where they are. They must be around here somewhere. And I said, well, did you look for them? Yeah, I looked for them. I looked around and I go, well, you're not looking right now? She goes, oh, they'll turn up. They'll turn up. And then just last night, I got my wife for Christmas or something, these really nice Bose headphones, you know? The noise-canceling kind you can wear on a plane, can't hear other things, you know? And she wears them around the house all the time. And can't hear anything else. And And she goes, I can't find my headphones. I'm like, well, have you looked for them? Yeah, I've looked for them. I go, well, you're not looking for them right now. Yeah, they'll show up. Just last night. That is not seeking. This is seeking. Jesus tells a parable. There's a lost sheep and wanders away, and the owner looks for it until he finds it, the Bible says. And then right after that is another parable about the lost coin. So it was the lost sheep. It's all coming back to me now. The lost sheep and then the lost coin. And the lost coin, a lady loses a coin in the house. A woman loses a coin in the house. And she searches for it until she finds it. That is the seeking that Jesus is talking about here in this. It's the same exact Greek word. Same exact Greek word as seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added onto you. Now, when Jesus says seek first, he's saying, number one, let it be a continual thing. Keep seeking until you find it. And then the second is, let it be a priority. Seek first. Let it be first, not merely in order of chronological order, but in order of importance. Let this be preeminent. Let this be first. Seek first the kingdom, which is God's rule, and his righteousness, which is his way. Seek first these things, and then here comes the promise. And all these other things, all these things we've been talking about since verse 19, all these things I've been talking to you about, and these will be provided. Seek first his kingdom, and all these other things will be provided. The key is not to seek the provision. The key is to seek the provider. If we will seek the provider, he will provide for us. But if we seek the provision, here's the bad news. If we seek the provision, we often lose the provision and the provider. Not lose forever, but we at least lose sight of. But if we seek the provider, he'll bring the provision. And then provision doesn't become something we work toward. It becomes a promise that we stand on. That God, you promised that if I put you first in my life, you would provide. Here is an opportunity for you to provide. Lord, pour out your blessing once again upon your servant. You have promised it so. And so when we seek the kingdom, this is not, don't misunderstand, like this is, putting Jesus first is like coming to church on the first day of the week and the first hours of the day, although it's certainly part of that. But what Jesus is speaking of is a lifestyle. He's speaking of a lifestyle that puts Jesus first. And all of us that have been in this for a while know that there's a little ebbing and flowing going on here. That there are times when we're really good at submitting to the Lord, and there are other times when we're not so good at submitting to the Lord. But when we're not submitting to the Lord, we know it, and we make it right. That's seeking first the kingdom. And his promise is this. Seek first the kingdom and my righteousness, and all these other things will be added on. When Jesus is first, everything else finds its proper place. When Jesus is first, just in case you didn't hear, or you want to write it down, when Jesus is first, everything else finds its proper place. So we were away at a pastor's conference. We were away somewhere. There was a group of pastors, and Pastor Tom and Alice were there. And I see Alice early in the morning. We're staying at the same location. We're staying in a house, Airbnb. I see Alice early in the morning, and her sweater is buttoned wrong. Like she's missed the top button and the bottom's hanging out. You know, like she just buttoned it up wrong. And I go, Alice, your sweater is not buttoned. And she goes, it's the style. What? You're pulling my leg, right? No, it's the style. You button it, you button it wrong and you let the bottom hang out. I go, are you kidding me? That's a style? She goes, yeah, it's a style. I still don't know if she's kidding me or not. When we put Jesus first, everything falls into place. When I buttoned my shirt this morning, I made sure this top one was right here, then the second one, third one, fourth one. Once the top one's in place, all the rest are easy. If we'll put Jesus first, everything else will fall into place. Now, I've done a little bit of flooring in my time, like these tiles right here. You know the most important course of all these tiles? The first course. First course, making sure it's straight and in line and all these other things. The same thing is true with a lot of building type things. Once you do the first thing first, like the cornerstone in a building, once that's on, then everything else comes after that, and then it all kind of falls in place. It's the same thing for following Jesus. If we will put him first, all these other things will be added on. It will be an easy transition. Now, it's a hard thing to submit everything to the Lord. Usually this comes in a place of crisis. But Jesus says, at least in one area, in the area of wealth, he says, test me in this. Test me in this and see if I will not pour out a blessing from heaven that you cannot contain. And see if I will not rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So he's saying two things. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect that which you own. And I'm also going to bless you. Pour out such a blessing that you're not going to be able to contain it. Test me. Test me in this. See if it's not true. So I would encourage you the same thing this morning, that you would simply test the Lord in this and see if it's not true. Put him first in every area of your life. And when you do, you will see that there is an abundance that he has planned for you. But first, put him first.